This is Member K Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member K Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
According to a study reported by Focus on the Family, a survey of more than 500 family counselors report the following are the top traits of successful families: communicating and listening, affirming and supporting family members, respecting one another, developing a sense of trust, sharing time and responsibility, knowing right from wrong, having rituals and traditions, sharing a religious core, and respecting privacy. Well, apparently there are a great many families today that don't understand the importance of these courtesies because many families are in trouble today. Our regular expert on this day of the week, Christian psychologist Dr. Brent Lindquist, is here to share some of what he's learned over the years of his counseling and just being the head of a family. We're happy you're here, Brent.
Hello again. I'm going to do a short series during this month on the whole issue of building healthy families. I've talked about families a lot before because I am very interested in families, and I think there's a lot of strength that comes from having healthy families. I'm going to expand it a little bit for those of you that aren't in families to talk about how healthy family characteristics probably are matched or mirrored in healthy team or work group relationships as well. I've divided this up into five key topics, and today I'm talking about kind of communication in general. Now, I'm basing all of this in from some material I keep going back to again and again from the past, which was a survey of many different people about what they thought healthy families were made up of. In other words, what were the characteristics of healthiness within a family? And so quite a few people endorsed some of these things, so they're general. At the same time, don't be upset if your favorite characteristic isn't listed. There are many such family studies that have basic things in them. I think they're all pretty similar, but they probably have little differences within the whole process. However, since I'm the one on the radio side, the recording side, I'm going to use mine, and I hope that you'll bear with me once again. Today, we're talking about communication. Generally, there's three points I want to cover with regards to communication. A healthy family, number one, communicates and listens to each other. Number two, a healthy family affirms and supports one another. And number three, a healthy family fosters family time and conversation with each other. That's all kind of bound up in what I call the general title of communication. Now, what is communicate and listen? What does that mean? Well, it's a two-way street, first of all. It means that we, in our family environment, we allow each other to talk and we listen to each other. Wow, that sure sounds like rocket science, doesn't it? Well, not really, but it is basic. And the basic building blocks of good communication are communicating or talking and listening. I would argue, for the sake of argument, that it's probably important to listen first and then speak. I think there's a lot of folk wisdom in the whole idea of listening before you speak, because then you really know where the other person is coming from. It is very easy to get confused or be mistaken about somebody's motives, thoughts, feelings, or attitudes when we don't listen to see where they are first. We are very good, at least I know I am, at drawing conclusions based on lack of evidence. So in a healthy family, we want to see communication and listening. We want to see give and take. We want to see working out and correcting various misperceptions. The family needs to have permission. Each person should have permission to name, own, and express feelings without being punished. I remember when my oldest daughter, Sarah, was very tiny, just learning to talk, but fortunately learning to talk quite well. She said to me one time that when I was intense, she actually used the words angry, but we all know that I'm not angry, I'm passionate or intense, haha. But she said when I was angry at her, it made her feel bad, and so she'd appreciate it if I wouldn't talk to her that way. As she got older, those kinds of things changed, and she probably became a little more strident, but I was struck very much by the precise and calm way she identified what was going on inside of her and linked it to me. Now, I could have said, well, your choice to become feeling bad as a result of my outburst is your choice. However, that's just playing with feelings and manipulating. She got a chance to say what she said, and I really appreciated that with her. And as an adult now, I think we have a fairly good level of communication with each other. The second point has to do with affirming and supporting one another. Is communication about affirmation and support? Sure it is. I think we give people a lot of feedback, and too often we give people indirect feedback that prevents us from or prevents those around us from really knowing what is going on. Especially men, we tend to assume that no news is good news, therefore if I'm happy, I'm not going to say anything, and you should draw your own conclusions that I'm happy just because I don't say anything. That reminds me of a young man who was a little boy, never spoke, and the parents got very upset. And until one morning when he was about 4 or 5, he finally said, "The toast is cold." And they said, "What's the matter with you? Why are you speaking now?" He says, "Well, up till now, everything's been fine." Well, I think for many of us, we go through situations where we don't always communicate clearly, and we don't affirm each other. So as we communicate, I want you to try and affirm each other. Can you think of something good about your family member that you can tell them? Now, let's not worry if it's too artificial, but don't make it too artificial. Make it meaningful and make it sound good. I find that a lot of times I don't say things, but when I do, I get a profound thank you and appreciation back. And oftentimes I get a comment, an endorsement back about me. Well, I'm not saying we do everything in order to get something back, but what you see there going is the reciprocity in relationships. Whatever you give out will come back to you. That works for good things as well as bad things. My third point today had to do with the healthy family fostering table time and conversation. This is something that I think that as our family grew up, we did not do as well in terms of table time. It became very difficult when our children entered the teen years for us to figure out how to find time around the table. Most of the time, we were able to have at least one meal together a day, if we were lucky, and maybe 3 meals during a school week was probably more than we could manage. That was because of everybody's job, the work schedule, sports schedules, everything. I'm not saying that that's the right way to be, but when you are together, you should try to have as meaningful a time together as you can. Oftentimes, as a family, when we gather around the table, there'd be a lot of positive talking. We had a lot of terribly funny things going on around the table, and some of the stuff became funny only upon further reflection many years later. But I'll never forget how many times we'd have friends of our children over, and they would be genuinely surprised at our degree of conversation and the humor that we had evident in our time together. There was a lot of good-natured teasing and just a lot of fun. And I like to think that while we didn't do meals together every day, the ones we had together were probably better more often than they were problematic. I won't go into the fact of our biggest family fight was trying to figure out where to go out to eat when we ever did, because everybody had different perspectives on what kind of food they wanted to have. Now, as we look at communication then in the family, how does this relate to the team, to the work group? Well, I think these are very important characteristics as well. Communicate and listen. Listen and communicate. Very important. I want you this week in your family and in your work group to try and see if you're listening well. You might even want to ask some people that you trust to give you honest feedback if you have been listening well recently. The second thing is the whole issue of affirmation and support. I want you to give 5 affirmations. No, wait a minute. 1 a day. 7 affirmations between now and the next time we talk. 1 affirmation a day to different people. If you can give them to 7 different people, that would be wonderful. But make the time to think about saying something to somebody that they have done that you've appreciated, hopefully that they've done recently or will do right this week, and tell them how much you appreciate that and support them in their efforts. And three, spend time in conversation around the table. You might not be able to do this, and that's okay, but try and talk through some issues. If things are tense, pick light issues. You don't need to convince yourself that you'll fail by picking a very difficult topic, but pick a light issue that you can work on. And then you can see how this works. We'll be going over other characteristics of families over the next few weeks, and I hope you find this interesting and stimulating. Talk to you next time.
Thanks, Brent. You've been listening to Dr. Brent Lindquist, president of Link Care Center in Fresno, California. Families are central to almost all that we do. A report that I read recently said the evidence is overwhelming that the better our relationships are at home, the more effective we are in our careers, in our work. And if you're having difficulty with a loved one, that difficulty will be translated into a reduced performance on the job. In studying the millionaires in the United States, U.S. News and World Report says that a picture of the typical millionaire is an individual who has worked 8 to 10 hours a day for 30 years and is still married to his or her high school or college sweetheart. Now, please don't run off to your spouse and tell him or her that if your marriage is happy or successful, that you're going to get rich. I can assure you from that experience that that isn't going to happen, but happiness is high on everybody's list of commodities. And of course, if you're married to your job, your family can suffer and likely will, so don't overdo it.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.